Hey gang, I'm here to remind you that tomorrow, Saturday, April 19th, is Record Store Day. That's right, get out there to your local record store. Not the big ones, not the Walmarts, not the Targets. Get to your local record store. Steve's Records, End of an Ear Records, Waterloo Records. Those are mine here in Austin. Get out there, you can buy vinyl, you can buy CDs, you can buy cassettes. I know it's fun to buy music in your underwear, but it is fun to shop in a local store. And you can ask someone a question, and they'll know what you're talking about. Get out there, Saturday, April 19th, National Record Store Day. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
All right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. I know that it's a choice that you make, and that choice is not lost on me, people, because you don't just drive around and tune into it accidentally on the airwaves, on the radio, which, you know, look, that's how we've heard most of our music, you know? But over the last few decades, music has kind of gotten on the radio. There hasn't been a lot of alternatives to go listen to stuff where people are free thinking that isn't owned by some giant corporation. And not that that's bad, but you know, those giant corporations have to do testing on songs to see if they fit a certain criteria, to see if they make enough people happy in the demographic or whatever that they're trying to reach to work. Okay, now I'm not saying that's bad. You got to do that as a business person. If you have a giant corporation too, you have tons of employees, you got to keep the money coming in. You got to keep the advertisers happy. You got to do that on a local level too. But what's been lost in that thing is sort of the maverick idea of radio, breaking a song. There's a famous story about Styx Babe where the program director in Chicago said, I'm going to play this song every night at 8 until it becomes a hit, and then it became a hit. Now, Babe, was it Babe or something like that? Some song, but you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a famous story. It was in there behind the music. So that kind of thing has been lost, but it's been coming back in the town I live in Austin, which is, it's conducive to that sort of thinking. Austin is open to that sort of thing. That's how we ended up with stations like KGSR. And then the guys that did KGSR went to the KUT and turned that into a new station called KUTX, which just plays music, but it's also a college station and a public radio station. Not a lot of commercial stations have done it, but another station here has done it, Coke FM in Austin, and they're doing what they want, and they're doing well enough to start another station called The Fringe. And so my guests today are the guys that are starting The Fringe. An old friend of mine from radio from the time of KNAC here in Austin, if you remember. And as of late, he's been the host of Chillville on 101X here in Austin. His name's Ray Segrin. And then from the JB and Sandy Morning Show, which will be debuting Monday, April 21st, on Fringe Radio, JB Hager is here. So Ray Segrin and JB Hager are both here. We sit down and we talk about this new radio station, Fringe Radio, that they're starting, Fringe FM Radio. And it's on 105.3 in Austin. They're not sure what the website's going to be, but you can stream it if it's something that you like, you know, from somewhere else. You listen to radio in Austin, or you listen to radio in your office or something from somewhere else, you can tune into it and listen to it. I know a lot of people do that. Anyway, so JB and Sandy are coming back. That was a very popular morning show here in Austin, Texas. I used to watch it when it was a TV show for a little while, early in the morning. And so I was a little bit starstruck with JB, but very glad to sit down and talk to these two guys who I like a lot and I trust, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do with their new Maverick radio station. Off the beaten path, left of center, off center, freeform. These are all words that they're using to describe Fringe Radio. And it starts tomorrow, April 19th, Saturday, April 19th. Over the weekend, they'll be playing a three-hour segment that will be kind of showing what the radio station will be doing. And then Monday morning, they go live. Monday, April 21st, 105.3 in Austin, Texas, if you're here. If not, look up Fringe Radio, Fringe FM in Austin, and tune into their website. Catch a live stream if they're doing that. All right? So, without further ado, let's talk to Ray Segrin and JB Hager from Fringe Radio. Let's get down.
broadcasting all programs. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the light.
Cool. I can try. I'm a little rusty.
Either of you guys ever done this before?
I'm a little bit rusty.
Yeah?
Kind of.
So,
yeah.
So let's go with this. I used to watch you in the morning. I don't really listen to morning radio, but I like to, I wake up early, like stupid early sometimes. So I watched you guys a couple of days a week.
That had to be weird, right? Watching the
It's weird that you're
show.
In my apartment right now because I feel like a little bit starstruck.
Well, it's a little weird? It's a very cool apartment. It's almost like a museum in here, music history. It's
sure, there's
cool.
A lot of memorabilia, a lot of artifacts up in this joint.
I'm
sure.
Just yeah, I'm like
and the full piano.
I'm this in awe looking around at your place. It's
this,
cool.
This was actually Rick Nielsen's guitar strap.
Very nice.
It was a gift from a tour manager that toured with them. Anyway, okay, so I watched you in the morning, and you, when did I start listening to you in the days of KNAC?
Well, obviously, you know, Mr. Rocket 90s, Baby yes. was on my first compilation CD.
Yes.
And, you know, so KNAC for me was 91 to 95 until 101X signed on, and then I went to 101X, and then I went back to KNAC, and then I had to leave the state for a while.
You're right.
So it would have been 92, 93, I think, was about the first time, which I got a great memory of that, the CD release party at the old Antones, which is now the Washateria there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. David
played
with us.
When we did the release, it was David, and it was you guys.
Yeah, I remember that like yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a guy that I hung out with during South by Southwest that is in publishing, and he was like the West Coast VP of Elektra when I was on there, but he was working with ASCAP at the time. This guy, Tom DeSavia, you haven't known him?
No, I'm not ringing the
bell. Great guy. Anyway, I was hanging out with him at South by Southwest talking about that very night.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it was a great night. Yeah. So, you guys, have you traveled a lot, like going to radio job, JP?
I'm an oddity in that regard. I did a few stints in Dallas and a couple years in Phoenix, but I've been here 18 years.
Right.
Which is not common. You know, that's it wasn't your traditional radio path where you do kind of bounce around. The running joke with Sandy and I was that, you know, the goal for most radio people is to get into a major market. And our joke with us is that we're doing it the long, slow way, letting Austin grow underneath us.
Right, right. Yeah.
So what JB, what I think is the cool little tidbit there, it's bigger than a tidbit, actually, that JB's leaving out, is that he actually started with Kid Craddock.
Oh, you did.
And so, and did, super yeah. tight with Kid Craddock. You know, and who, so
yeah, rest
like in your
peace.
Wedding and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's I did an internship at the Eagle in Dallas,
right?
And in like '89, and I hit it off with him. He invited me into his morning show, and I was like, "Wow, this is really cool." You just hit the red button and go. Whereas I was studying TV and film stuff at UT, which is tedious and
right.
cumbersome and slow, right, right, right. and all of a sudden, you just hit a button and go. I was like, wow, this is really fun. And so I learned a lot from him over the years. And then when that, you know, he got blown out because the Eagle went back to rock.
Right.
And they put Howard Stern on. And so, you know, I had to go get a paycheck somewhere while he was sitting out.
Yeah.
And went to Phoenix for a couple years and then went back to to work with him at KISS, which has been a top station for 20 years now.
Right.
They're consistently in the top three and dominating for all those years. And then Kid passed away this last year, which was right. crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy. You know what? I remember I was playing a show and I had a bunch of friends from Dallas at the show. And everybody in the middle of the show started looking at their phone. But like through like two and three songs, I was like, what is going on? And that's when I found out.
Oh,
when
wow.
I got on stage, yeah.
You were on stage when the
yeah,
news
yeah.
spread?
And I could see it. I could see it happen, like seeing people looking at their phones. Like,
oh, wow.
Hitting each other and saying stuff. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
I was at a restaurant here in Austin and got a text. And I was like, wow, my jaw just hit the floor, you know?
Right. So may he rest in peace. But you said working there was fun, all right? So you guys yeah. are starting something. Tell us about it.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
I guess that's why we're here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, we can wax nostalgic, but I do want to touch on how when people first got into doing this.
Oh.
They probably lost sight of what it was for all the years you've done it, all the traveling you've done. Tell me about Fringe.
So here's the thing. Let's get on the table exactly what it is with JB here and Ray. So we went to high school together.
Okay.
And we stayed at Georgetown High School, and we've stayed in touch through the years. And occasionally, every few years, like, oh, wouldn't it be kind of cool if we ever worked together, you know? But JB and Sandy, obviously, were on this 18-year run that was awesome, you know? And I was kind of pinballing around, eventually got out of radio for a while. And obviously, I'm sure JB's going to share some of the details about how their stint at 94.7 came to an end. But it was during that time, end of last year, where I was starting to think, I've done about all I can do with Chillville on 101X. And so even before really this opportunity for the Fringe radio station materialized and then went through all the various steps it needed to for it to work for me, JB and I were kind of connecting after he had left 94.7. And to me, it's really cool that I was the last guy on the banana boat. It's like, I think JB went and sold me to Sandy first, and then they sold me to Bob Cole. But to be able to join this thing, which is really JB's blueprint for what the station is going to be, to be able to come on and be the program director for that, to me, super exciting, because it is, like you were saying, Johnny, it's a radio where I'm having more fun right now, you know, cooking up this issue. Just the conversations that JB and I had this morning after hearing our first tests of what 24 hours of music sounds like.
Yeah.
And then making those corrections.
Yeah.
And there's no consultants breathing down our necks.
Yeah.
There's no
research.
Corporate, you know, intervention.
Yeah.
There's no piles of research to do. So
there's no place where you can just buy this format and load it.
Right.
We are piecing it together, song.
Yeah, if you want to start an adult contemporary station, you can go on the internet on Google within 5 minutes and put a credit card down and download all the music. We're carefully selecting song by song this compendium of music over 25 years that includes new stuff. It includes stuff going back to the late 70s and early 80s, I guess, would be as old as it gets.
We might even have to pull some off of vinyl and load into the computer.
Wait, what? Name a song from each decade.
Okay, so from the late 70s, it could be some David Bowie.
Okay.
It could be Lou Reed.
Okay.
It could be Lennon, McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of the...
A more alternative? Is that...
Well, we're not...
I don't want to use that word. So I hate to use that word.
Yeah, we hate to use that word too, because alternative radio... That term has kind of been co-opted into
what is
the 101X of any given city, and I assure you, we're not going to sound like 101X.
Okay? Yeah, we're hesitant to clump the word alternative on it, because at any given moment, Eminem or Jay-Z,
that's right.
You just don't know what's going to pop up,
right?
So it doesn't all fall into one little mold,
right?
That's for sure.
In spirit. You might be closer to what the philosophy is of KUTX.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because obviously for me, when we started 101X in 95, it was Jody and it was Susan and it was Brian Beck. You know, in the mornings, I think at that time it was it wasn't Kevin Connor at the time. It was Ed Mayberry and Cecilia Nasty. We had Big Jill there.
Yeah.
And I got huge respect for all those people and huge respect for what Jody and Susan and everybody else is doing at KUTX. But we're
have a specific taste.
Certainly. And what we're doing is certainly different than that. I don't think we could out Jody in terms of being this musicologist.
Right.
With all due respect.
No, I know mean exactly
that,
what you mean.
I mean that with total respect.
Yeah,
I mean,
love that
you
guy.
Know, I mean, if I was going to pick three or four people that have influenced my broadcasting career,
sure.
Jody's up there, a brother for sure. But we're not trying to out KUTX.
Right.
Likewise, we're not going to try and out Imagine Dragons or out Passenger, the commercial station. We think there's a nice place for what we want to do in the middle, which is probably something, relatively speaking, it's going to be more familiar than KUTX. This isn't DJs Around the Clock, P picking whatever they want to play because what their mood is. I mean, we've definitely...
You're going to have a playlist.
But compared to the mix station, compared to 101X, compared to KGSR, the sad truth is, and again, these are friends of mine that run those stations, but the truth is those stations sound largely like their format counterparts in other cities in the United States.
Right.
KGSR, I would say, sounds far less different than the AAA in Denver, the AAA in Portland, the AAA in Chicago, than the KGSR of old used
to. Of course, right.
So I don't know that we're not going to be super heavy on the Americana piece, but okay. I think in spirit,
that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I mean, the philosophy behind it is like, hey,
yeah, our music library will be 3 to 4 times as big as those stations that I was talking about, but it's not going to be DJs around the clock just picking whatever they want to play off the shelf and cure it. And again, to the Larry Monroes of the world, who when I worked at KUT back in the 80s, huge respect for everything about that. But what we're looking to do is find a nice, big audience that exists in there between 94.7, where these guys came from, between 101X, where I came from, and the other stations that are in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well put.
That is well put. What's your role, JB? Music director or what's
music fan is more than anything.
I got that from you when I used to watch the show in the morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
From just a little bits and pieces?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's...
I still think it's weird that you're saying... sorry.
No, it's all right. It's what's really fun for me with this is it's a throwback to old radio, and it's a mom and pop station. And, you know, I've never gotten to work on a station where I just thoroughly enjoy the music. You know, so this is like, you know, I'm just geeked out. This is really exciting for me. So I'm in the old environment in mix world, I was a music snob, you know, I was just a real, but to like hardcore music people, I'm kind of a novice.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm just thrilled to be playing what I grew up on. And so to answer your question, I don't really have a title outside of the morning show, but it's a staff of 4 people.
And 5 if we, you know, well, really, with Drew, it's 5.
With Drew, it's 5, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew's more of a music director in the sense that he's probably the only guy we could have found that can make sense of this hodgepodge of music.
So Drew Bennett is the Drew's the former 101X morning man, the former KNAC guy with me.
Dear old friend of mine.
Okay. So, so Drew, his day job now is working for one of the music software companies. So Drew consults radio stations all over the U.S. and Canada about, here's how you get your music database together. Drew also does nights on Coke FM now.
Okay.
So Drew is our secret weapon, very much. Very much our secret weapon.
Glad. What a great station this is.
In fact, where the station, the Fringe, is going to head to, would not have come to fruition if Drew wasn't part of the equation from the get-go.
Yep.
Right.
So he was already had a relationship with, you know, scheduling a complicated station like Coke FM that is Texas country, alternative country, Americana. It's tricky, just
sure
like this is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down with Drew in December, I think, and it's like, can you pull this off? And he's like, oh, easy. Easy. This is a no-brainer. So we kind of, I went in and pitched instead of doing AC, you know, hot AC radio, which I came from, or doing like a magic. I just was like, I can't do that. I didn't even want to get back on the radio in that environment.
And it's not like a Bob station that really is like all over the place. Like,
well, that's an interesting
Jerry Lee Lewis, okay, Supertramp,
so,
Macklemore. You know what I mean?
So let's talk about that for a sec.
I like that.
Yeah, that sounds really good to me. No, let's talk about that. So the station that Austinites know as Bob is based upon a format that was actually started in Canada about 15 years ago.
Right.
Jack FM.
Right.
And so Jack FM was kind of, bastardized would be the wrong word. It's R&D, Rob and Deploy. Okay, so they took the basic idea, which we all know is iPod on shuffle now. But before there were iPods, Jack was doing this We Play Anything deal, right? So it's the consultants up in Dallas, Joel Folger and those guys who branded the Bob and then sold it to different. There's a Bob FM in Chico, California. Yeah. There's a Bob FM, you know. And so they've got their own spin on that. What they do is they go in and research, and because of this cluster dynamic that rules radio, the Bob FM in each town is designed to go after the competition. It's to play this iPod shuffle that attacks your competitors while protecting your stations. So if you listen to Bob FM, you notice it's not really stepping on the toes of KLBJ FM or KGSR.
No.
It's designed to pull in mix and magic listeners.
Right.
And so anyway.
And does a good job at it.
They do a great job.
Huge number.
What I will say to this Jack style, this We Play Anything style, is we will be a very eclectic radio station where you could hear Watching the Wheels by John Lennon next to Don't Believe the Hype by Public Enemy.
Okay. All right. Now we're talking. That's good. That's great. Those are two great songs.
We're going to play a lot of current music as well. So, you know, artists like St. Vincent, who was the belle of the ball at South by Southwest this year.
Yeah.
And JB and I are looking at each other going, why is nobody in this town playing St. Vincent?
No one's playing, not even KUTX? That's weird.
Not that I know of. Yeah. I haven't heard it on the radio. And yeah, that was like, okay, let's get on that.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's some of the thought behind it. From, you know, initially was, you know, I'm 46 now, and classic rock today sounds exactly like it did when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I've talked about this.
It's
the Eagles, it's the Doors, it's you can predict
Van Halen
it
now,
you
and
can
all that
almost
stuff.
Pick every song before it plays. And here we are, Gen Xers that grew up with MTV, alternative radio, a lot of sources. You know, we have a more of an eclectic taste. Then hip hop went from, you know, Will Smith to getting really edgy and and cool. So we liked that too. And you know, and so I feel like our generation has this real eclectic flavor. Mm-hmm. Going back to when we were kids in the 70s and hearing classic rock on the radio through that whole alternative boom. And then we like new music just as much as anybody. Mm-hmm. So in previous days on radio, once you hit your 40s, you only listen to what you listened to in high school.
I have that conversation with people all the time, too.
Not the case in Austin. It's certainly not in Austin.
In Austin. Yeah. This is the home of South By. This is the home of ACL. And everybody I know that's my generation still loves discovering new music.
And
a lot of the thought was, you know, When I go down to the park at ACL, we're just as excited to see Vampire Weekend as we are Tom Petty.
Right.
And it's like nothing is reflecting that. And so what is like a classic rock to someone our age?
Yeah.
It's, we've got 25 years of the birth of alternative rock.
Yeah.
To dip into. Pretty fun place to go, right?
Totally.
I just had a very surreal moment realizing that, all due respect to the Chronicle, who've been kind to us, and the Statesman, we're sitting in Johnny Gowdy's living room, and he is scooping
amazing.
All the major media.
This is amazing. I know.
If he gets this thing up today,
I feel special.
He's scooped the entire Austin media.
I can't believe that.
I know. In fact, we're probably sharing it a little too much of our philosophies.
Know,
but
you know what? At the end of the day, here's the thing. None of the other commercial radio stations in town are going to... I mean, I hate to predict what they might do, but it seems to me they're pretty focused on this idea of the way that the rating system works now, which is it's minute to minute, okay? And it's, well, if you just play that Maroon 5 song 80 times a week, and if you break that down, it's like every 2 to 2.5 hours, okay? And we're talking KHFI, I'm talking Mix, I'm talking KGSR, I'm talking 101X. They all play by the same rules now. What's great about what we're doing is we don't have to play by those rules. We've been given permission, and we want to build a big audience, but we've given permission to do it the old way, which is find a loyal audience that loves you as their favorite station. They will listen longer, and everything else takes care of itself. It's not this minute to minute, oh, can we keep them through one more Maroon 5 song?
Yeah, and it's not just the songs in radio now. It's also... you know, him doing a morning show is our content. So the whole focus of radio executives in the last 3 to 5 years is do radio that will prevent people from tuning away, not bring in an audience. Isn't that a good way to describe it? Yeah. It's like, what can we do that's so safe they won't leave? Don't button push. Instead of really reaching out and doing something that draws in an audience and connects with people.
Right. And are you going to have DJs that, like, because this is a thing that really, this is one thing that I feel we lost with MTV. Like, before there was an MTV, when I was a kid, I learned about music from DJs, and I would tune into DJs' shows, and I trusted those people. Like, I you know what I mean? Like, you knew them. Mm-hmm. They told you whether you needed an umbrella. You know, they fucking right. told you when the new Kiss record was coming out or whatever. You know what I mean? At the time. And then once radio kind of nationalized, you know, I remember my parents were divorced. My dad lived in Miami. So when I'd go visit my dad, rock radio in Miami played totally different songs, even by similar artists. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they'd have a different... Like, things happened regionally. People picked up songs regionally.
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys going to bring that sort of thing back where you can trust this DJ guy and you can
let me give you my spin on that.
Okay,
so, please. So when JB and I were in high school together, I was definitely a metalhead. I was a metal guy. And when I would go to San Antonio, 99.5 Kiss was the station you're talking about. Where you had these personalities. Joe Anthony, the Godfather, who I got to know a little bit before he passed away. They had that mojo going on for sure. And even, to be honest with you, KLBJ FM in its heyday with Jeff Carroll and with Loris and back in the day when they, you know, in really...
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, Johnny Walker, Andy Langer with his Sunday night show. Like, you know, all of those kind of... Sorry.
So you asked if we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that basically I think the difference between where we're at now in terms of launching The Fringe next week is we're going to have these guys in the morning.
Yeah.
We're going to have me in the afternoon. And the one thing that I would say, I don't know if it's a restraint or a directive, it's we're going to be very sustainable. We're here to stay. These guys aren't going to let us go spend a bunch of money and then go, oh, we couldn't drum up enough revenue to support this pie in the sky deal. We're keeping it very lean and mean out of the gate so we can sustain this thing. And we will add personalities as we go along, okay? So right now, it's kind of like JB was saying earlier. It's a bit of a, by radio standards, it's a bit of a skeleton crew. It's the five of us. It's the three guys on the morning show, myself in the afternoons, and Drew doing the music. And then we've got the sales staff and the office admin that are also the same people that do Coke FM. They do the sports talk station.
Yeah.
And then we've got a fourth AM station as well.
It'll be a lean staff Christmas party. We could do it in a van.
So here's another question, because in Austin, there was always such a focus on local music. You put out records, compilations of local bands. And I know that you guys had local acts on your show.
We used to. The new regime of bosses over there wouldn't ixnay that.
Okay, well, this goes into what I'm about
but
to say.
But back in the day, we used to bring in a lot of local artists.
Yeah. Right, and so did Dudley and Bob were like a big supporters of that.
Yeah.
And they've recently had people, and this is no knock to them. They're friends of mine. I'm just saying that, like, shit's gotten so bad, and they're trying to get music people on their shows. Mm-hmm. That their upper people ixnayed having music people on there because it was killing the ratings.
Yes.
People were tuning out.
I just remember we can say shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you can cuss. This is just
standing in front of a mic
freedom.
Is just weird.
Yeah.
The way ratings are done on commercial radio in the top markets, I think it's in the top 50 markets, they do it this way, is with the digital system. So you can see when people tune in and out. And it is... It's bad for show content, like we talked about, but it is the worst thing for new music and local music that could have ever happened.
Yes.
Because playing something unfamiliar is frightening for commercial radio now.
It is.
But since we won't be a slave to that system, yeah, we will definitely want to introduce local music back in the way it should.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, we're going to set the bar high. It's not like we're going to – I don't want to be playing every band that can send an MP3 in. Because at the end of the day, the mandate's real clear. Develop quality programming for the audience. It really can be this simple. Develop quality program for the audience. You build a loyal audience. And if you can figure out a way to marry that with the advertising in a way that's not crappy commercials that you're ramming down your throat – again, back to that – this new measurement thing, it's like the other commercial stations, the conventional wisdom, God, I hate to use that term, is take eight minutes worth of commercials and ram them together and hope that people will listen through them. So one of the things we're doing is let's make the product really listenable. So whether it's how do we make the ads better, how do we choose the very best of local music? But yeah, and again, here's the thing. There's a station in town whose slogan is Radio Austin, and that was created by Jody and Susan back in the day, and that were Radio Austin.
That station
was Radio Austin.
Right.
To use that term now on a station that doesn't play any local music, what, man? What?
Yeah. No, exactly.
So, and here's the thing. I got to get this on. So these are our friends that run those stations.
Sure.
You know, Lynn Barstow, who runs 101X. I started working with him in 91.
Oh, he still runs
it? We worked in Oklahoma together. We've been to the Super Bowl together. We've taken vacations together.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that I'm cracking on him. If anything, we've got empathy for what these guys have to go through.
I was on the other side of the fence in November and dealing with it. Yeah, it's you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know they want to do the cool thing and do what's right, but their hands are tied.
Feel bad for somebody like
him. Yeah, we're not
like,
bad-mouthing them. They're not doing anything. They've got a job they've got to do, and just the system has changed. Sorry, go ahead.
Do you think Andy Langer enjoys introducing that Christina Perry song
for the
3,000th time?
I don't think he's like, awesome, here's the Spin Doctors.
But...
No,
so
but
we'll
I mean,
be defined.
You know, he's
we'll
got
be,
other outlets.
So the friend again. So all love and respect to
yeah.
the people that we've known for 20 years in this town, or 25 years. You know, but the truth is, we don't have to play by those same rules. So it's like in Game of Thrones, man. We're north of the wall, playing by our own rules, man, and it's kind of fun. Yeah.
That's good.
And King Jeffrey is dead.
So coming back, you have a morning show, and that's not going to play music. It's going to be like a morning show.
We will play music.
Yeah.
Because
don't you think that interrupts the flow of what's happening? Because are you guys going to do that same kind of thing?
No, it'll be different. It'll definitely be different. We will play music, actually, because we'll be passionate about what we're playing now. You know?
Right.
If I get to look on the computer and see a cool Clash song is coming up, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also have a forum to introduce some of the new stuff. Or something local that I like. You know, on the old station, the only time I ever got to talk about new music was like the week leading up to South By or the week leading up to ACL. I would do this little feature of like, here's three artists to watch for every day. And I would play 20 seconds of a song. Well, now, you know, using the St. Vincent as an example, if Ray and I decide to add an artist like that to the station, I'll want to introduce that in the morning show as part of the show content. You know, I'll be excited about that, but then we'll do our, you know, do other stuff.
Right.
You know, but you know, the music gives us a nice, there are some benefits of what we learned in the old system at the old station is that, you know, people do want a little bit of a mental break in between topics sometimes. And that's where the song fits perfect.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just say, hey, coming up, we're going to dig into this. You know, and here's, you know, the Clash. So it mentally just flows better
right.
if you're listening.
Yeah.
To me, the music piece is going to be fun and exciting because of just what's gone into it. But I think the thing that's being covered less in the little bit of press that we've got so far in the trades, and both the Statesman and the Chronicle have given us little write-ups. And obviously it'll be clearer once we're an entity. Once we're the thing that I know that nobody else knows, maybe even JB and Sandy aren't as aware of it as maybe I see, is the excitement I see from these guys to really get back to doing their show the way they want to do it.
Mm. Yeah. Having fun. Like you were saying.
Yeah. It was not fun. The last 3 years were not fun at all. I mean, we were faking it pretty good. it's like the fake orgasm in bed for a woman, but you know, some are good at it. But you know, the same thing happened with show content that happened with the music. Again, the goal became don't do anything to get them to leave. You know, so your topics all got moved to the center. You know, you had to try to always talk about what everyone's talking about. So you would, if you're going to talk TV, he brought up Game of Thrones a second ago. It's
right.
like, that's going way out there. Don't mention Game of Thrones. That's a small audience.
Hardly anybody subscribes to HBO. Talk about something on CBS.
Yeah, talk about...
Two Dumb Girls.
Talk about The Voice or, you know, shows that the masses are tuning into, and you just get so tired of talking about that. Where I would much rather dig into Game of Thrones.
So JB and I were having coffee. It must have been 3 or 4 years ago, and we sat down, and he was just so deep, man. He's like, "Damn, this feels like Nickelback radio I'm doing here, man." And he just come out of one of those, because those are grueling when you get these corporate guys in from out of town, or here's the directives from Cincinnati or from Indianapolis, you know?
Yeah,
and they just, you know, or you've got those corporate guys in nitpicking and. So, you know, I got to really hand it to what Bob Cole has built over there with Coke FM.
Right.
And they recently acquired the sports talk station that has, it's the Horn 104.9, which, so that's the sports station in town that's not essentially run by UT.
Right.
You know, the one over at Clear Channel has the contract with University of Texas. So if you do anything that's going to run afoul of UT. So it's kind of that same, you know, you've got this outlaw country station, this Texas music. You've got the sports station that's sort of the outsider. Mm-hmm. And then relative to who we see as our competitors, 101X, KGSR, Mix, you know, in that universe, we believe we'll offer an alternative that has as much, what's the word I'm looking for? Differentiation, mm-hmm. okay, from what those things stand for. Again, like I said earlier, kind of like the station, you could take them and you could drop them in Palm Beach, Florida or Oklahoma City, and those stations are going to sound largely the same in terms of their playlist.
Yeah.
And again, it's because you've got all these same, your radio's owned so much by 5 or 6 companies right now, and that all those directives are coming from those corporations. I don't really have anything bad to say about MS as a company. For my years there?
No.
They were always really good. They always let me do whatever I wanted on Sunday morning. There were a couple of times where we got some slight direction, but for the most part, doing a specialty show, you know, in kind of the radio ghetto, you know, of either late night or Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I don't really have anything bad to say about how I was treated. And certainly, again, the people who I worked with for 8 years are friends of mine, you know. But the truth is that we feel like there's a real opportunity for us to do something really special, Johnny, and it's exciting, man. It really is.
Yeah, it is very exciting. So no other specialty shows as of yet?
No.
I think that's what I was getting at with that. Are you
having
any dreams of any?
We've gone back and forth with the idea of some block program, but we haven't made any decisions on that yet,
right.
I don't think.
No, not yet, but that's, we're open to that. It would have to be, you know, a good fit, something that builds an audience.
Bottom line is we're not going to talk about it. Yeah, okay. We've got some ideas,
yeah,
but we're not going to say what they are.
Okay.
You know, in Bob Cole's words, it's like we're interested in talking to people that have an audience locally.
Yeah.
Isn't that fair to say?
Sure.
You know, it's in the building. I don't, you know, it's not necessarily growing something from the ground up. Let's bring in people that
there are some really talented broadcasters who don't have jobs right now, and they're friends of ours from other stations, and we've had a lot of those conversations. And again, it's a sustainability thing. You know, we're not gonna let the reach exceed the grasp.
Okay.
So we're gonna build this thing brick by brick, and all the little pieces matter for sure. There will be a date, could be 3 months, it could be 2 years, where we'll staff up and we'll round this thing out.
It's kind of like when you move into your first home, you don't want to buy all the furniture in one day. You really want to piece it together slowly and accurately and make smart decisions. And
I think that's great.
And when you've been doing it as long as Ray and I have, you start to think about what's it like hanging with this person. Okay, they may be great on the radio, and they may have a huge audience, but is this someone I want to sit down and have a beer with or go grab a coffee with? Mm-hmm. If you don't, why bring them into the building? Chemistry is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. We're also open-minded to this idea that the station will evolve. We're certain of it.
Sure.
We're building.
It's the only way you're going to make it.
It's JB's blueprint that he sold Sandy on, and then the two of them, because you got to tell the part of the story about how, you know, JB was let go and not sure Sandy was coming to the party. There was a time there in limbo where it wasn't quite sure what was going to happen there. It might have been that Sandy stayed at
Sandy had an offer to stay at Mix. You know, it was a good way to cut the payroll in half on the morning show, and I was on the side that fell off.
You got to just tell. You got to just tell the story. You got to tell that story
about how that blew up.
So how you get the how they tried to position you as Mr. New Media leading.
Yeah,
media.
You know. So I get mid October ish. I get pulled in to with the GM and the program director, and they say, "Well, you know, your contract's up at the end of the year. It was a 5-year deal," and they said, "We're not going to renew you January 1st. And here's what we're thinking. This is what they do. You know, they try to make it real positive right away.
Here comes the spin.
We think that you announce your retirement, and we'll do a big send-off in December, throw a big party for you. And, you know, and here's what we're thinking with the story is, like, you're leaving," and he actually used these words. My GM said, "You're leaving old media and going into new media." And I said, first of all, I would never call radio old media, ever.
Right.
And second of all, I don't plan on doing that. And the reason they had that spin is, you know, I'm developing a video app.
Oh, right. Okay.
Called Ferris. And it just got some funding. But I also have on-air streaming, which is my website along with a partner where, you know, we film emerging artists when they come through Austin. They get in my trailer, and we do this real high-end recording.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and so they weren't real fond of these side projects I had. So they thought, okay, this is how we can spin it. He's going on to pursue, you know, his on-air streaming and his video app, Ferris, and we'll do a big send-off.
Right.
Important detail here is they're also taking you in front of advertisers, getting... To me, as a guy who owns an ad agency, to me, the idea that it was being put out there, let's keep this secret so we can go sell some. Let's sell you for next year, even though we know you're not going to be here.
Yeah, they gave me. Right. So this is mid-October. They gave me.
That's unconscionable to a local business that would put all their trust in, you know, who somebody they listened to for 18 years, and for them to be selling. Well, I shouldn't even.
Yeah, So they gave me the option of walking that day or staying till the end. And so in an effort to buy time just to figure out what was going on, I was like, no, I'll be a pro. I'll come in. I said, let's not start talking about my departure until the last week. I don't want this big, long goodbye.
Yeah.
When really I was just buying time, you know, just get out there, talk to, different people in the market. And, I want to stay here. I'm very rooted here and see if what else is out there. So I'm buying time, but... 3 weeks later, and I'm going in and joking around on the show, knowing I'm out the door in January, but they were sending me to talk to clients and sell annual buys for the next year. And they're trying to close business. It felt bad on a lot of different levels. Our sales staff had no idea. They're, you know, and it was that time of year when you close annual buys.
Right.
And so they're all coming to me and, you know, I'm meeting with a lot of clients and helping lock down business, and I'm visiting with one that was a mom and pop, literally husband wife business, local, had never bought radio before, and so I'm just lying through my teeth to him. Came home that afternoon, called Sandy, and I'm like, dude, let's go grab a beer. We need to talk. It was just eating away at me because I'm lying to all these people, and. Another thing happened that same day. A little birdie told me that our old GM was very flippant over a year ago about how, you know, JB and Sandy are going to hate me when their contract's up. Like he knew he was going to blow up the show a year and a half ago, and you know, in half flippantly made remarks about it around town. So that pissed me off. I'm not going to do him any more favors. And so Sandy and I from a bar got on the phone with our agent who called their lawyer and said, can JB still leave and not finish out the year? They were going to pay me till the end of the year. And their lawyer said, yeah, that's fine. I go, okay, tomorrow's my last day. And so I went in, did the show, normal, and walked in and handed him my key access card and cruise.
Wow.
So Sandy did a few more, another week with me gone, and then they felt like they needed to explain what was happening and gave him a free pass to explain, to be honest. Sandy said, I think we need to be honest. They were like, yeah, absolutely. Just tell everybody what's going on. Sandy made this big announcement, and then literally the shit hit the fan.
They didn't want him to be that honest.
They did. Yeah, he was a little too honest.
Oh, no.
If you ever get a chance to hear that audio of the 10 minutes of him explaining what had happened, it's some of the best radio I've ever heard.
I love it when stuff like that happens.
Oh, yes. Man.
I mean, just because in the world of broadcast, you get total and complete honesty at mm-hmm. some point.
And what's crazy is the next day, Bob Cole calls and says, it was the nicest thing I could have heard at the time, because believe me, I was not happy. You know, it had been a rough month.
Yeah.
And Bob says, you know, hey, I just want you to know it's going to be all right. We've got a home for you. Like, didn't even know what it was, what format, what signal, nothing. He's like, we got a home for you. This is going to work. This is going to be fine.
It's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Which wouldn't have come to, I might have missed that opportunity had I worked till the end of the year. They may have gone ahead and had another plan to launch another station doing something else.
Curious, what was it like? Can I ask him a question?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Can I ask you a question? I really want to interview you, John.
Everyone, let's just love each other.
So we've done some interviews, and you know, really, so I didn't really even know Sandy. Obviously, JB and I go back to Georgetown High School mid-'80s, but the thing I still haven't really heard was, what were those original... Here's the format I've cooked up that I sketched this out on a cocktail napkin.
Oh yeah.
So how was that received by Bob and whoever else in the power structure?
That was pretty interesting. I cooked up a format in my head of what I thought would be what I would want to do, and so we get Bob Cole. We get a guy that's known in the industry for... He's a guy who comes in, looks at a market, and looks at all the formats, listens to what everyone's doing, and then tells you where the hole is. Mm-hmm. He's an expert at that. Mm-hmm. And we all get on the phone. And the purpose of this phone call is to decide where the format's going to go. The first two suggestions go right after mix was one of them. Then it was like, go somewhere between mix and magic, you know? Maybe AC that dips into the 70s a little bit on occasion. And Sandy and I are both sitting there, you know, on the phone, like, And I had actually put together a really graphically nice presentation of what I think the station should be. It identified, you know that image of like all the cloud where mm-hmm. some words are bigger than the other.
It's
a graphic that a lot of people have used. I had a visual of that identified some currents, what you call classic alternative mm-hmm. and then classic rock. Well, actually, I didn't say classic rock. I just said spice.
Called it spice.
Because some of that was classic rock. Some of it was old hip hop. It was all over. And while we were on the phone with this guy, emailed over that and said, take a look at this. And the guy looked at it and goes, I love this. You've got to do this. And, you know, in Bob Cole's words, he's like, this guy never... Mm-hmm. signs off mm-hmm. on a format that easily.
Right.
And from that moment forward, we're like, okay, let's go with JB's plan. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I need help. I'm not a program director. I'm not disciplined. The whole reason I do morning radio is because I'm not disciplined.
Right.
And so I sat down with Drew. I was like, Drew, let's go get a beer. And I'm like, can you make sense of this? I showed him the presentation. Can you make sense of this in a legitimate way? And Ray and I had grabbed coffee in December and said, hey, I think our paths are going to cross. And discussing this new station, I said, hey, we should talk to Ray Sagern. And I think you guys talked that day, you and Bob Cole. And he goes, that's weird. I just talked to him. And
Bob actually gave me a job, not unlike, so my senior year in college, I follow Bob Cole around, senior year media management, pick somebody in town who you respect, go follow him around for a day and write a paper about it. And so Bob Cole was the guy who managed Case K-Vet,
right,
and was also the on-air guy. And so I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be on air, and I want to manage radio stations. 94. And at the time, I was covering City Hall for KUT. I'd done that for 6 years.
Yeah, that sounds painful.
That sounds ancient, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like covering a terrible City job. Hall. Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, so I'm
in the early 90s. Like there's
all those great SOS and oh yeah, all
I guess
meetings.
So. I guess so. Yeah.
I got a bird's eye view of some great Austin history. But KUT lost the contract to KAZI right about the time I was finishing paper on Bob Cole, and was like, hey, you need somebody to go chase news stories for you? So he actually gave me a job back then, and obviously not the same level as what you're talking
right.
about, but so I had worked for him then. So I had this awesome convergence of JB, who I went to high school with, right. Drew, who I went to KNAC with, right. and Bob, who for that little bit of time that I worked for him, we'd stayed friends, and we had a good relationship, so, man, my stars were aligned, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, it really was just stars aligning. So at one point, it was Sandy and I and this crazy format. That was it. Mm-hmm. And so once we corralled Drew, who can make sense of it, and then Ray was on board, I'm like, okay, now I have the confidence that we can actually pull this off.
Let's mention Don Johnny.
John
Desjardins. Desjardins. I want to say Desjardins.
It's actually Desjardins, but
that's not how you pronounce
it. Well, yeah. He just dummies it down for Texans, I guess.
That would be the French pronunciation.
He's
the morning show producer, okay. And he's also the guy who does the snap, crackle, pop stuff between the songs.
He'll be doing all of our
imaging and production.
Okay.
And man, the station is going to sound so flipping good because of the special magic baby that he does.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't been so jazzed about station imaging since the late 90s in terms of here comes something now that this isn't like sound effect, voice guy, stinger song.
Well, also, you guys are starting
from
zero.
I mean, he's doing some crazy.
Oh, hey,
I mean, you guys are starting from zero. I mean, you guys are putting something together where there was once nothing.
Yeah.
The voice for the station is an old radio buddy of mine, and he doesn't sound like a voice guy.
Who's that?
His name's Chris Cantori, and he did mornings, alternative mornings in San Diego for
91X.
Years.
Jesus.
A great radio station.
Yeah.
I called him up, and I'm like, dude, will you be our voice guy? We need someone who sounds normal.
Mm-hmm. So
he's like, yeah, no problem, bro.
what's the where on the dial would one find it?
Can we go ahead and say that?
Let's
just say it here, man.
It'll be
can
out
you?
Thursday morning, so okay.
We're going to be on 105.3.
105.3.
So currently, we're giving Johnny all the scoops.
Today. I know.
Great.
I want to borrow this. 105.3. Currently, Coke FM is on three places on the dial. They're on 99.3 is the main signal, and then they got 98.5, and then they got this 105.3. to blanket the city. So what they were able to do was to increase the height of the tower on 98.5 so that they don't need 105.3 anymore
right.
to cover the city.
Okay.
And so, so 105.3, I've driven all over the Austin metro, and it is a strong enough signal to get the job done.
And what day does it start?
So this weekend, we're going to do a preview weekend starting Saturday at 10 a.m.,
okay,
which will be essentially a three-hour audio documentary that just replays over and over throughout the weekend until 6 a.m. Monday morning when JB and Sandy go live, and then it's on like Donkey Kong.
So it's an audio Monday the 21st.
Yes.
So Saturday morning at 10 a.m., it's going to be JB and Sandy and me for 3 hours, and we're just talking about all the behind the scenes, a lot of stuff that we've talked about here, some other stuff. We bring Bob Cole in, some of the other people around who are involved on this.
Introduce Johnny to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And play a good sample of what it's going to be like.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that'll be kind of like on a loop. People can check it out.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm excited about this.
Yes.
This is going to be great.
You know, we've been going on and on about this, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the state of radio, because that's what the conversation we've been having for a long time And, you know, where would you like to see it go? Or what do you like or dislike right now?
You know what I like? I like to hear new things. I like to not hear the same thing over and over again. I like... I want to be able to connect with the radio station.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a nostalgic thought. I want to know that when I go there, I'll be hearing, you know, a guy I know and trust, you know, even if he's never been to my house. I want to.
Or
you know
watched him
mean?
On TV and had a little bit of a man crush, it seems like. You see, you're making a whole lot more eye contact with JB there than me, and I'm a little offended by it, actually. I'm hurt over here a little bit, John. No,
you know what I think when I look at you, Ray? You haven't changed at all. Like, you really know, look
he's,
great.
He's aging better.
Yeah,
than...
you're aging better than anyone.
Hey, so like here's Mark the thing. So of... let me say this what you, kind of on what you were talking about, okay. What you like in radio. So here's a great example. The Clash is an artist that we consider to be one of our core gold artists, which is a whole career's worth of music that we can pull on. So, and it's a perfect snapshot of what will define our station. So we're playing 13 Clash songs. Included in those 13 Clash songs are not Rock the Casbah or Should I Stay or Should I Go. Okay. We're not playing those two songs. Right. Playing 13 other Clash songs.
And we debated Train in Vain for a while.
We debated Train in Vain and Lost in the Supermarket if whether those could make the cut.
Right,
so,
right, right.
So those probably are the two most hit, the biggest Clash hits. Yeah. But there's just a lot of good stuff there. And so we were talking about, and then what about like, for those of us who are products of the early 80s when our musical tastes were imprinted, we all had that Cars album that had the big MTV hunt, but a song like Hello Again was never like a huge hit, but we all love that song, right? So
totally.
We're not going to play You Might Think right out of the gate. Not to say we would never play that song, but Hello Again is a great song that we'll play and everybody will love hearing that song again. So there's a couple of things going on there. Again, it's that idea, you don't have to play the obvious hit that's been maybe a little burnt out or maybe a lot burnt out, but also this idea, you can put the Clash and the Cars and the Police and Cheap Trick next to St. Vincent and make it work.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas every other major market commercial radio station will just identify those hits because it's safe.
Yeah, the research tells us that if people if people tune in on that song, they're liable to listen for an extra 45 seconds, you know.
Right.
Well,
right.
Well, that's another thing that I'm looking for when I go to listen to the radio. I don't want to listen to someone's market research, and I feel like now at this point I can totally hear it. And it's not because I've just been around it so much and I've hung out with people in it so much and I've seen it succumb to that so much. Mm-hmm. You know, when I did that tour and went to radio stations, that was a real eye-opening experience. Me and just another band member had a record coming out in a couple months. It was like the full-on thing where we went to a couple radio stations a day in different cities and sort of like auditioned for our thing and we met with consultants at that time, and at that time consultants were really taking over. And it was just weird, and it grossed me out. It didn't have anything to do with what you started listening to the radio for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid and hearing, you know, anyone, even in the 90s here, it was, you know, you really got a lot from guys like you, like Drew, like
Johnny Walker.
Like Johnny Walker.
Mike Driver.
Loris.
Yes.
Of course.
Jeff Carroll.
Jeff Carroll. Kevin Connor,
Jody
and Jody
and
Denberg and Susan and Langer, of course. Mm-hmm. But that's what I want. I want to hear stuff. I do want to hear familiar stuff. Mm-hmm. Of course I do. But would I love to hear Hello Again instead of Magic? Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's another fun aspect about this. This is just me with my own made up philosophies is that, you know, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and Ray has kids too. It's so fun to watch them and their behaviors. And my daughter's starting to discover music. She's into vinyl, and we just got her this 70s era stereo system that's badass.
That's awesome.
But it's really fun to watch them consume music. And so when a song is new, you know, okay, so let's say a year ago, Royals came out by Lorde.
Right.
And my daughter bought it. the first day she heard it. And so now it's on her iPod and she can listen to it whenever she wants. And people are still hammering that song, where I just think things burn quicker than they ever have for that very reason. Absolutely. She also, she uses YouTube like MTV.
Yeah.
You know, she just sort of lets it navigate like it's like this living, breathing MTV. Mm-hmm. And so things burn quick, and yet commercial radio is holding on to songs longer than ever. So there's a real disconnect there.
Yeah, there really is.
And then, you know, also I'm the kind, and you guys probably are too, I mean, I'm the kind of person that I have 20 different playlists on Spotify. I love making playlists and sharing them with friends. But I hate listening to my own playlist because I know what's on it.
Right.
Or if it's on my iPod.
Yeah.
I can't program an iPod for myself because I know what's on there and there's no element of surprise.
Yeah.
And so the goal with what Ray and I are trying to accomplish here, and Sandy and Drew, is give people that refreshing feeling and that element of surprise, and that I call it a wow factor. You know, that aha, like, oh, God, I haven't heard this. Takes me back to when my life was really easy.
Totally.
I had a bitching Camaro and used to cruise Sonic.
Yes, you did.
or you're grabbing your Shazam and you're like, what the hell is this? I've never heard this. What is this? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both to me, an interesting part of that as well is I really think that we're going to connect with an audience that isn't just people in their late 30s and early 40s who had that Cars album or like the Police B-side, or, you know, the album tracks off of those Police albums that weren't like huge hits, right?
Right.
I think that there's room for a little bit younger audience to really discover those songs as well for the first time. And I think they'll be drawn to the Fringe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What time does your show start in the morning?
6 a.m. It's 6 to 10.
Yeah.
Traditional morning slot.
5 days a week.
Getting up early again is going to be brutal.
Just you and Sandy? Are you going to have some... What's that girl's name, Sarah?
No, she's stayed at Mix and is loving it. I mean, that's
she
the
seems
perfect
mixy.
Station for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
she seems mixy.
You know, we don't have intentions to add a female to the show. We're not ruling it out, but we're not forcing it.
Right.
Like, again, you know, Ray, so we're starting lane. So, you know, we've got... Johnny, who will be added to our show, and he's all personality too. So, I mean, he'll be doing all that, the imaging that Ray told you about. But he's a lovable person too. So we'll be interested.
So I don't know which one of you guys is George or Jerry, but it's almost like Johnny brings this Kramer element.
Oh, that's good.
I can tell. I haven't heard you do a show yet, but this guy's always cracking into some kind of voice or accent or just some crazy Ivan thing out here.
Yeah, he's a real talent. I mean, he's done stand-up and theater, and he's just super talented. He was a guy that was hoarding sound bites back when it was really difficult. Mm-hmm. You had to physically pull things from television.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and collect them and organize them, and so I've known him for 20 years, and he was always the guy that we would go to before you could just download a karaoke track and things like that.
Right.
He had it. I need a sound bite of this. Oh, I got that.
Fun for me getting to know Johnny a little bit, and Sandy for that matter too. Like I said, I've known JB since high school, but not really Sandy so much. But particularly with Johnny, what's interesting to me is watching this guy who's like a kindred spirit. He's clearly a guy who soldiered in a lot of the same situations, and there's a mutual respect professionally. Watching this guy come and fall in love with Austin, to me it's like, so you've got guys like JB and me who grew up here. You got guys like Bob Cole and Sandy who moved here and, you know, two decades here and, you know, have built roots. And then you got Johnny, to me, who is kind of like the he's new Austin. This is the guy, these guys who are moving to Austin and falling in love with the city that Austin has become.
Let
me be real clear. And I don't know where JB weighs in on this, but for me, I love the city that Austin was when I grew up and was a graduate of Gillette Elementary and Georgetown High School and eventually UT, but I very much love the city Austin's becoming too.
Yeah, me too.
To me, it's not an either-or proposition.
Hey, it's growing.
So that a lot of people are moving in here and that it's evolving, to me, is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. What time is your show in the afternoon?
Still kind of working on it. I'm going to be pulling some long shifts in the beginning for sure. We're gonna do a lunch.
He has to stay all day. I go home.
Hey man, so look here. So
I'm only laughing because I'm happy that people are doing something that they fucking feel passionate about and that isn't handed down from down upstairs. Yes. Don't do this, do this. Like, hey, we're going to do this thing and it's going to be great. Like, this is really, you're not revamping a station. No. You're not bringing back something. You're literally starting a new radio station.
So let me just run with that. I'm so grateful that, you know, I got out of radio full time back in 02, 03. Because I used to use JB and Sandy and Jody as the examples. Radio's not going to happen for me the way it's happening for these guys, you know? I'm kind of like this. Well, I'm a fringe guy, you know? I'm real good. I'm winning awards at the Chronicle and these specialty shows. And for a minute, I was winning some stuff music director-wise. But radio started to go in a direction where there wasn't a whole lot of room. You remember when, all the guys got laid off at KGSR? I remember when Susan and Big Jill and everybody, mm-hmm. and Jody was the last guy mm-hmm. in there, right? And then they ran off. Who'd they run off from? Well, it doesn't matter. I don't need to. But anyway, so it was like, hey, look, man, you know, the radio's headed this way. It's not going to happen for me. So I was very happy doing Chillville, and I was happy to build my business, which now I have these three amazing women who run my advertising agency. We've got 34 clients across the U.S. and Canada.
Wow.
For me to be able to have that sort of stability with this company I've built over the last 8 years and to come back and do what I love, if all I have to do is sign on at noon and maybe put it on autopilot a little bit and then come back and do afternoon drive, if the sum total of what I did that day was to work a seven-hour shift, you know, and let's be honest, it's not like I'm working a shovel here, okay?
Yeah.
I get to stand in a state-of-the-art control room with the best view of downtown Austin, of our skyline that you're going to find anywhere,
yeah.
And I get to do exactly what I want in the thing that I've enjoyed doing throughout my life more than anything. Well, shit, man. Y'all signed up for that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Is it the same place where the horn is? That's physically in that same, on the same floor and everything?
Yes.
I was just there a few months ago. Yeah.
It's a great building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can see my old building from the window.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie and Sandy will be the guys with the finger up in the air. That doesn't really translate to the podcast at all.
No, it doesn't.
I think I was I on your show once a long time ago? I think I was on your show.
Man, I've had a lot of beers since then.
No, I know. I think so. Yeah, I was. It was a long time ago.
You just remember being in that building, right?
I just remember going in there in the morning show and just... I was tired, and I think I was mad at whoever I was with, and so that was overtaking the whole thing, and then acting all happy on the radio, and then leaving.
You know what's funny is
that baby is that you just made a bad face, Ray.
I did.
You're disapproving of my attitude.
No, I'm not.
I gotta share with you something pretty funny here, Johnny. You'll like this. Is as excited we are about this new format we're putting together, and really handpicking. We launched it on just an internal stream this morning just for us to listen to.
You really talk about this? Okay.
And within 30 minutes...
We're on the phone with each other.
We're on the phone going, oh, God.
We got to blow this up and go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. We just heard some things in there that we were like, what were we thinking last month?
Oh, yeah.
That's like making a record. Like you work really hard on something, you go back and sit and listen to it, and you're like, oh my God, what is this shit?
I'll just tell you straight up. I think on some level, it's like we were almost like, I don't want to joke about abuse, but it's almost like, you know, the relationship with corporate radio is a little bit abusive, and you're kind of like, ooh, mm-hmm. don't do anything to,
yeah.
you know? And so I think on a subconscious level, like, we better play it safe.
We were playing it too
and then
safe.
And then, it's Bob Cole who's coming back and saying, the only way you guys get in trouble on this thing is if you launch something that sounds like everybody else and you don't have the same degree of differentiation that Coke FM had to Case and KVET when we launched. It's like, oh, okay. Wow, you're really putting your trust in us and your confidence.
So now we have just a handful of days to go back to the drawing board. And it doesn't mean killing anything.
Present moment, being alive, doing the thing we love to do. I'll take it any day of the week. We're going to pull this thing off. And here's the thing. So in the morning, JB and you know, his lifelong radio partner, Sandy, and Johnny are going to be doing the show. And in the afternoons, I'm going to be doing it. If something doesn't sound right, we have 100% authority to fix it in the moment.
That's true. Yeah, that's what...
If we see something that comes up on the log, it's like, ooh, no, ooh. Yeah. Well, we just fix it.
You can do it.
It's not, yeah, it's not like you got a boss or a consultant you got to check with before you say, hey, you know, those two songs back to back, they just don't work, you know. So you punt one and you, mm-hmm. And you go in and you put something else.
It'll be a work in progress. And you know, we're going to have.
So what? All great things are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't know how much time we got left, Johnny, but I want to throw this in. You know, we talked about evolution. We talked about work in progress.
Yes.
Right? So one of the things, there's two things I'm excited about that we haven't really touched on. One is this idea that we're really going to bring the advertising community into this station in ways that no other station has done. Okay. Now, I don't want to set the bar too high or talk about ideas now, but I'll tell you that one of the, as a guy who's kind of been swimming in those waters a little bit, I'm super excited that we can connect with local businesses that we don't have to. I probably shouldn't call out McDonald's or whatever.
No, no,
but
no.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
like
we don't.
It's not like we're leaning on, you know, McDonald's. You know, shining down favor on us to be the 11th station on their buy or whatever. It's like we're going to go out the same way Coke FM has done, and we're going to cultivate that family of advertisers who believe in what
and
we
what
do.
You're doing. Yeah,
and we're going to connect them with an audience that's passionate for what we're doing. It's not about the trigger finger. You know,
yeah.
Can we let's put all 8 commercials here and hope that they listen through them?
Yeah,
I mean, we're consciously doing that. And then the other thing that I'm super excited about, that again, it's not the sexiest part about, ooh, we get to play, you know, this kind of music. We get to do whatever we want or whatever. But it's this idea that, and JB and I don't want to talk too much about exactly how, but we will involve our audience in making their voice known about the station they want to listen to more than any other station I've seen around.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Let me ask you this. Are you going to have, I have listeners all over the place. Do you have a web? Will you have people be able to find this station on the web?
We will.
Did we pick which domain?
I guess they could Google. They could just probably Google Fringe Radio Austin.
Yeah.
And it'll come up.
So I know we've got FringeRadioAustin.com. I think it's Fringe FM Austin.
Oh, that's good. Fringe FM. I like the FM idea.
Is it TheFringe.FM we have. We haven't decided yet, John.
Google.
Can we put a Survey Monkey up on your website? How did I get here, listeners?
I think the
Survey Monkey.
The leading candidate was thefringe.fm. That's subject to change, but it'll be rolling out on an app too, and so people will be able to listen to it anywhere. And we hope it does have that kind of spread where, like, oh man, I was in Austin for ACL and I found this cool station, and you know,
I want to continue with that.
Yeah, and people listen to radio very differently. You know, I have the Sonos system in my house where I can pull up any radio station in the world. And I find myself, you know, not being on the radio, getting up and listening to K-Rock for 4 hours.
Oh yeah.
People are listening to other radio stations for different reasons.
I do that.
Yeah. And so it's changed. It's the game is just very, very changed. So the streaming channels are pretty key for us.
I would like to connect with something locally that makes me feel like I'm hearing the voice of my community speaking to me about my surroundings, which mm-hmm. is why I would watch your show in the morning, which is why I'm sure people wake up and listen to a show. No offense against a guy like Kid Craddock, but he was on the radio here. Why people might have chosen to listen to you guys or to Bobby Bones or Dudley and Bob because they're speaking from their own city.
It's just little references about things you know, when they're talking about
they're your
place.
Friends. Yeah, you get involved in their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this just got really sad. No, I'm very excited about this radio station. Is there anything else that I'm missing? Thank you both for coming over.
Well, thanks for having us, Johnny. We, I don't know. What do you think, JB? We forget anything here?
Ray, I have
are we going to talk about stories from Georgetown High School?
I have a long time respect for you, and I've always liked you a lot. And
thank you.
I love what you were doing with Chillville, and I'm excited to see what you're going to be doing afternoons on the Fringe.
Thank you very much.
And JB, you and your friend Sandy brought me many mornings of entertainment.
Oh, cool!
Both on the dark side of the morning, and also just waking up a little early.
Yeah.
Well, so what he's saying is, in some cases, he'd gotten up early. In some cases, he was just still
was
up.
Still going.
In some cases, I just needed to hear a friendly voice.
Oh, man, it's cool to come in here and connect.
Yeah, for sure.
I love your passion for it.
Thank you, man.
It's cool.
Thanks.
And just talking to people about this project, as you can hear, there's so many people just like you.
There are tons of them.
Dying for something.
Yeah.
They want this really bad. So
they need this.
People like you with a big voice that can share it. And
I'll be more than happy to.
On board,
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, Johnny, appreciate you helping us get the word out.
All right, and, well, thank you guys for coming.
We've got our fingers crossed for Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And for the live launch next Monday.
And Monday.
And scrambling on music in the next 3 days.
421.
Speaking of.
Oh, yeah, scrambling for music. This weekend's a record store day. Don't forget that.
Hey.
Yeah. Sure. I think this is going to come out on Friday.
Okay.
Can I give some love real quick to a new store I just discovered?
Please.
The Sound Gallery on South Congress. It's south of Ben White, about a mile. Okay. It's a couple of guys that have been hoarding stereos and turntables for the last 25 years.
Oh, no shit.
And they've got great vinyl, a lot of great classic vinyl.
What's it called again?
The Sound Gallery.
Okay.
If you want some cool, cool vintage stuff, they're refurbishing speakers, turntables. Cool guys. And they're super passionate.
Did they have records?
Oh, yeah, they got records. I left with a dozen of them last week.
Good.
They just opened a month ago.
Great.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't have any shout-outs. No shout-outs.
No shout-outs? Well, give my love to Drew.
For sure.
I love that guy.
Let's give a shout-out to Drew, then.
Yeah.
That's my only shout-out.
He had this big band I did a show with.
They just played Drew played his last show with the Vintage 15 Saturday night.
Yeah,
it was the last gig with them. Sure was.
Okay.
Drew's real busy with his career right now. We're very lucky to have Drew in the building. Here's who I'll give the shout out to.
He just had a beer.
Wait, I got a shout out. Can I double back and do my shout out? I want to give the shout out to the sister stations because for me, so obviously Bob Cole and Eric Raines, you know, and then the guys there like David Anderson, who I worked with back in the day, Troy Kimmel, who I studied meteorology from at UT.
Like that guy.
But the sports guys, so Chip and Chad in the morning and Bucky and Aaron in the afternoons, as far as like my personal, you know, fanboy, man crush geek, it's like for me, sports talk in football season especially. I've listened to all four of those guys in every permutation that they've been. They've all been back and forth with this station and that, paired up with each other. It's kind of incestuous, really.
They're
a lot of fun to work with, and a lot of talent in that building.
Yeah, and a lot of them, they over the last year and a half paved the way for what we're about to do.
Yeah,
with a lot less effort to get it on than they went through.
Right,
that's right.
So, thank you to them. Thank you very much to them.
Yes.
And again, love to Drew Bennett. And you guys, thank you so much. Everyone, check it out Monday morning. Saturday.
Saturday.
Starting 10 Saturday, 10 a.m.
Saturday.
105.3.
The Fringe.
The Fringe. Yes. The Fringe. All right. Of the white right hand. Them that seek at a water G is an urban Vietnam. Giving deadly exhibitions of murder by napalm. Ray Segrin and J.B. Hager. From the new Fringe FM radio, 105.3 in Austin, Texas, being a freestyle station, learning how to do it. And of course, the morning show with JB and Sandy is back on 105.3, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. in the morning. I have already programmed my radio in my car to 105.3, awaiting the arrival of this station. I'm going to start listening tomorrow morning. Damn, man, that's exciting. Monday morning. Tomorrow morning, you can start hearing what it's like, and then Monday, it starts for real. Okay, I'd like to thank Ray and JB for coming by. Yes, I was a little starstruck by JB, but I already knew Ray. Why did he make such a big deal about it? I've seen him forever. The other guy, I've seen him on TV. I did go on that show at some point. I know I did. Anyway, so I was a little bit starstruck. But I'd like to thank them for coming by. I'd like to thank them for being so cool and so open and for wanting to share their story with me. I reached out to Ray when I found out that this was going on, and he was nice enough to say, hell yeah, let's get together. Let's talk about this, my old friend Johnny. Okay? So thank you to Ray and JB for coming by. I'm looking forward to this new radio station. And you guys out there. And if you're out there on the internet checking stuff out, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a comment. Leave a rating. Helps us with our overall rating so that we can secure advertising to make this show free for you, the listener. And also, you can like our Facebook page. How did I get here? It's a Facebook page. If you want to find out what's going on with me in my life in photos or in 140 characters or less, you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy on both of those. All right. How about a little bit more of The Clash to take us out of here? A little bit more Radio Clash, Private Satellite. All right, you guys, thank you. Thank you to Ray and JB. Good luck with The Fringe. Fucking, I love it. Radio revolution, bitches. Let's do it. Hands of love have sorted through.
living room, cashing in the bill of rights.